Before we get started, before any of this starts, I'd like to remind you that you can experience an ad-free version of this by clicking the link in the description that says plus.acast.com/s/radiofreecatholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Exsurgat Deus disipentur inimici eius, et fugi ancio derunt eum a facie eius. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered, and let all those who hate him flee from before his face. I suppose it's fitting that on the Feast of St. Patrick, during this season of Lent in 2024, that we take some time to look over an article entitled The Spirit of San Patricios, or The Spirit of the St. Patrick's Battalion. This was published by David Mills of the National Catholic Register, and I want to go over the article and I want to talk about a few things, because one of the things that seems to be running rampant through traditionalist circles is the fact that we cannot trust our government. And it's true in the United States, it's true in France, it's true in Spain, in Ireland, in England. Catholics around the world find themselves in a position where, for the most part, they cannot trust their government. And so it's this question that needs to be asked on this day, I suppose, or whenever you happen to be hearing it, but I am recording this, oddly, on a Sunday, but because it is St. Patrick's Day, we need to probably start having this conversation. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. Let's get started with a prayer. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sancta Michael Arcangele, defende nos in proelio. Contra nequitiam et insidias, diaboli est opraesidium. Imperet illi Deus, supplices deprecamur, dice princeps militae calestis, satana maliosque spiritus malignos, que ad perditionem animarum, pervegantur in mundo divina virtute, in infernum detrude. Amen. Cor Jesu sacratissimum, miserere nobis, mater dolorosa, ora pro nobis. Saint Patrick, pray for us. Domine, ostende facem tuum et salvi erimus, Ave Maria Purissima, Immaculata Conceptio Est. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. From the National Catholic Register, titled The Spirit of the St. Patrick's Battalion, the Battalion de San Patricio of the 19th century gives us an example of faithfulness to remember. The order to hang them came as they saw their hopes crushed when the victorious Americans raised the flag above the battle site. They were the second group to die. The first had already been whipped, branded, and then hanged for the offense of fighting against the United States. The Irish Catholic soldiers of El Batallón de San Patricio left the American army to fight for Mexico in the Mexican-American War, a war of, shall we say, dubious justification. Which is to say, pretty much none. Americans in favor of the war rationalized it in several ways. Ralph Frasca of Belmont Abbey College explained in the journal Catholic Southwest. They claim that Mexico wronged Texan and American citizens, impeded the American manifest destiny of expansion, possessed land that pro-slavery forces coveted or needed political or religious change. Catholic Mexico had, by the way, outlawed slavery in 1829. Congressman Abraham Lincoln thought the war had been, quote, unnecessarily and unconstitutionally commenced, close quote. Ulysses S. Grant, who fought in the war, later said, quote, I was bitterly opposed to the measure, and to this day regard the war, which resulted, as one of the most unjust ever waged by a stronger nation against a weaker nation. It was an instance of a republic following the bad example of European monarchies in not considering justice in their desire to acquire additional territories. Close quote. Fighting Catholics. The St. Patrick's Battalion was created and led by a soldier named John Riley, an Irish immigrant who had trained in the British Army. He gathered a few hundred soldiers, estimates vary, mostly Irish, with some Germans and reportedly Catholics from other countries. He was captured near the end of the war, but was not among the 50 soldiers executed. A D for deserter was branded on his cheek, and he was then released. The soldiers had joined the army or signed up as mercenaries, as immigrants often did as a first step in making their way in a new country. They found themselves not only fighting to take land from another country, but fighting for an army that despised their religion and fighting for it against their fellow Catholics. The anti-Catholicism of the time was raw. Frasca quotes one editorial published after the war claimed that Mexico lost because Catholicism was, quote, the festering cankerworm, infecting every organ of vitality and every fiber of strength with the poison of premature rottenness and decay. No one thinks of keeping his word. No one forbears corrupting his neighbor's wife or betraying his government. No one, well, you get the idea. The officers were mostly Protestant and kept the Catholic soldiers from going to Mass and often forced them into Protestant services. The soldiers came from a country that had long been dominated by a more powerful neighbor, whose alien religion was an important tool in its domination of the people. In America, the same culture, basically white Anglo-Saxon Protestantism, looked down upon them. They knew how it was for the Mexicans. The Mexican invitation. The Mexicans shrewdly saw this. Their leader, General Antonio López de Santa Anna, invited them to join the Mexican army. Quote, the Mexican nation only looks upon you as some deceived foreigners, and hereby stretch out to you a friendly hand, offer you the felicity and fertility of their territory. He said, they would be paid and given land, at least 320 acres, and would be received under the laws of that truly Christian hospitality and good faith which Irish guests are entitled to expect and obtain from a Catholic nation. And Santa Anna pointed out, they would be serving their fellow Catholics and not killing them. Quote, can you fight by the side of those who put fire to your temples in Boston and Philadelphia? Close quote. He asked, which was a very good question. Quoting again, if you are Catholics, the same as we, if you follow the doctrines of our Savior, why are you seen, sword in hand, murdering your brethren? Why are you the antagonists of those who defend their country and your own God? At least some mainstream Americans understood. Congregationalist minister William Jay, son of the American founding father John Jay, and a man not well disposed to Catholicism, explained the St. Patrick's reasons for switching sides with some sympathy. They began fighting as mercenaries, he said, but when they reached Mexico, quote, discovered that they had been hired by heretics to slaughter brethren of their own church, close quote. The Mexicans told them, quote, in strong language, they were committing in fighting against men who had never injured them and who were united with them in the common faith, close quote. The story is complicated, of course. We don't want a Catholic version of the St. Patrick's Battalion story to match the mythology of Disney's Davy Crockett and John Wayne's The Alamo. The official description: in 1836, a small band of soldiers sacrificed their lives in hopeless combat against a massive army in order to prevent a tyrant from smashing the new Republic of Texas. The soldiers' motives were certainly mixed. Being Catholic was part of an integrated life, not easily separable from being Irish or from being poor and oppressed. We don't know to what extent the soldiers believed the war unjust. They weren't working out St. Thomas Aquinas' idea of a just war in relation to American society. But they did believe they were on the wrong side, and they needed to switch. The question for the future. Ambiguous as their example may be, the St. Patrick's Battalion gives us an example of faithfulness to remember on this St. Patrick's Day, and one we should use to measure our own faithfulness in facing a state and society in some ways hostile to Catholicism. When men discover themselves to be serving in an unjust cause, a war brutally prosecuted with the hatred of the Catholic faith, the experience makes stark the fact that their commitment to God is higher than their commitment to their nation. Dorothy Day raises the same questions in her own way as a pacifist and anarchist who had as little to do with the state as possible, especially its war making. She didn't leave like the St. Patrick's did, but she did check out. Day and her colleagues lived in extreme vulnerability to avoid paying income tax that would go to the military. She happily protested in ways that landed her in jail. The men of the St. Patrick's Battalion and the men and women of the Catholic worker movement suggest we have been too at home in Zion. They raise a question on which Catholic social teaching needs to develop. What does it mean to be a citizen? What are its limits, and when must we reject it? When, if ever, should we switch sides? The limits of citizenship. Catholic social teaching speaks much about the duties and rights of citizens, and to some extent about the limits to the state's power over its citizens, and it refers often to the possibility that Catholics will have to say no to the state. But it says little, if anything, about what a citizen is. It never touches the question of if and when we must change our allegiance from one nation to another. It does not consider the conditions under which a Catholic might need to do what the St. Patrick's Battalion did. The U.S. bishops forming consciences for faithful citizenship doesn't realize that it is a question that needs to be asked. It was written, understandably enough, for a democratic society by people committed to the society's self-understanding. There were no Dorothy Days on the drafting committee. There should have been. Catholics on the right and left see, and in growing numbers, that our relation to the state is more ambiguous and more complicated than American Catholics have understood it to be for a very long time. Whether you see the problem as a government driving woke policies or a government using American power to exploit the global South, you see a problem. A state does not have an infinite claim on our allegiance. The men of the St. Patrick's Battalion faced the problem in a very stark, direct way and responded with a decisive no. We may not need to say no, but we should be saying at least, wait a minute, or let's think about this. It may be that someday the St. Patrick's Battalion will be seen not just as patriots, but as prophets.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And to give a full nod to David Mills, he is the editor of the Hour of Our Death website, and he's finishing a book for Sophia Press that'll be titled When Catholics Die. It is, by the way, actually, and you can find that on the National Catholic Register's website, ncregister.com. It'll be in their blogs. In trad circles, particularly on the interwebs, there is a lot of discussion because ever increasingly, as time goes on, despite the fact that we have a ostensibly Catholic president, it has become very, very obvious that our nation doesn't give a whip about faith. And most importantly, it certainly doesn't seem to give a whip about the Catholic faith. Now, this is disconcerting, to say the least, because, well, to be blunt, patriotism is a sub-virtue of piety. It's a sub-virtue of piety. It is, you know, piety is not the sub-virtue of patriotism. And we've been forced to look as our government has decided to do more and more psychotic things. And I mean truly, truly just awful, awful things. It's caught up in the gender nonsense, in the rainbow agenda, the arguments about same-sex attraction, the arguments about transgenderism, increasing arguments about what they are now calling minor attracted persons, which is just a euphemism for pedos. And all of these things are continuing to advance. All of these things are continuing to move forward. And as time passes, even the leftist Catholics are looking at this whole thing going, this can't continue like this. Now, sure, we could get bogged down in the problem of which, you know, the leftist Catholics are like, well, yeah, but there's this and that and the other, and we need to be, but they know full well, they can see it in their own lives, that the world is falling apart, that it's doing whatever it can to corrupt their children, that it's doing whatever it can to just basically be corrupt and evil and wicked. And whether they're getting stuck on the argument about guns, or they're getting stuck about the argument about, you know, transgenderism in the schools, or they're getting stuck about the rampant crime and people just being violently attacked in the streets, if they're being, there's something that it doesn't matter whether you're a traditionalist Catholic or even if you're a bogus ordo Catholic. And I'm not talking I do want to separate Novus Ordo from Bogus Ordo, okay? Novus Ordo Catholics are still Catholic, by and large. They're still trying to be Catholic. Bogus Ordo Catholics have been largely deceived as to what Catholicism is, but even they are still, on some level, trying to be Catholic. So from the furthest end of the spectrum of traditionalism to the furthest end of the spectrum of bogus ordism, all faithful Catholics, everybody who's trying to move forward in the faith, trying to do what it is that they... And this probably actually gets lost with a lot of trads. I'm going to take a moment to divert here. This probably gets lost with a lot of trads. That if someone's being, like, if they're going to Mass regularly, even if it's a clown Mass, the fact is they're going to Mass regularly because they're trying to be better Catholics. They are embracing something of the faith. And we have this tendency as trads to throw stones at them because their priests are garbage and their bishops are nasty. And they're, in some cases, manifest formal heretics. And yes, I know. Oh, you just said in some cases formal heretics. Yes. I'm going to be blunt. If you make a statement that goes international and you don't correct the statement, embracing some kind of heresy, newsflash, boss, you're a heretic. And, you know, yes, it may technically be a private sin, and yes, it may not be part of the magisterium, but we're in a world where I absolutely expect every one of my words on this podcast to reach around the world. Now, not everybody will hear it, but whether you're in India, Russia, China, Mongolia, Australia, Indonesia, Brazil, Chile, Mozambique, Madagascar, Morocco, France, Spain, Germany, England, you have the capacity to hear this podcast. And I know for a fact that this podcast has been heard in at least 70 different nations. So every statement that I make on this podcast, yeah, I'm alone in my apartment, in my studio, recording this podcast. I'm in private, technically. But these are public statements. These are statements that can be heard around the world. So if I'm a heretic on this podcast, everyone on earth knows I'm a heretic. So if you're a bishop and you put out a video and you speak heresy in that video, yes, you may not have been judged a heretic by the church, but the statements are public enough to be formal. This isn't a canon lawyer. Remember, I opened this thing up saying Caleb the Mechanic. I have no de jure authority. What I do have is the ability, the capacity to say de facto what's going on. And those things are not necessarily the same. But from the most deceived, back on track now, from the most deceived bogus ordite, the one who's actually happy to see a priest with a water gun spraying holy water on a kid as a form of baptism, using a squirt gun. Because at least the kid's being baptized. Are they really? Is that actually valid? I think any priest who's willing to use a squirt gun, a little water pistol, rather than something more canonical, might be a little bit too loosey-goosey with the rite of baptism for me to be certain that they are that child is validly baptized. I could be wrong. I just doubt it. But from the most deceived bogus ordite to the most radical of rad trads, even the set of Akontists, all the way across the spectrum, we look out at the world and we go, this world hates us. This world is trying to change and distort what it is that we believe as Catholics. Now, some of us are on board because we don't know any better. Most of us are not. But all of us can see at least something that we look and we go, nah, player, I am not with that. That is a bridge too far. So whether it's violence in the streets of a gang of, what do they call them now online? Cultural enrichers, ganging up on a little white kid and beating the ever-loving daylights out of him till he's unconscious and beyond. Or a gang of cultural enrichers surrounding and isolating a white girl, smashing her head into the concrete and sending her to the intensive care unit. Whether it's, what are those abominable freaking drag queen, fake nun, mocker, people. Whatever, you know what I'm talking about. The drag queen nuns in Dodger Stadium. All of us can look at that and go, okay, bridge too far here. This is a bridge too far. I know there were a lot of people who, over the course of the last week, thought that the Oscars, and what's his name, John Cena? Coming out onto the stage, buck naked, holding an envelope in front of his genitals in order to present the Oscar. I know a lot of people who thought that was funny, and I know some of us, myself included, who believe that that was some kind of humiliation ritual. And given the fact that it's John Cena and he's been through a few humiliation rituals thus far, it wouldn't surprise me. So we may not all see these things the same way. We may not. But I can guarantee that every last one of us looks out across the world, sees the things that are going on in our nation, sees these particular things that really rub us the wrong way, and say, no, I can't be a part of this. And I will say, as you move along the spectrum from the furthest left bogus ordo all the way to the right of the most radical traditionalists and even set of Vacantists, that number of things that is a bridge too far increases. So I look at the cultural enrichers surrounding helpless kids and beating them halfway to death, if not to death, as well beyond too far. I look at the World Economic Forum talking about you will eat the bugs, well beyond too far. I look at our fake Catholic corpse in the Oval Office right now as a bridge too far. Several bridges too far for him, actually. May God claim him from this world before he does more damage, or convert him so that he stops. One of those two. Because the commander-in-chief of the largest, most powerful country in the history of the world, even though that power and that glamour is now quickly abating, came out last week and said that he is absolutely in support of, in fact, he is willing to lead the charge for, the murder of children. Abortion, which is one of the last few things that all Catholics, from the bogus ordo to the rad trads, all agree on. And when I say that we all agree on, we all agree that it needs to end. Now, the further left you go in the Catholic spectrum, the less likely you are to start calling these people murderers and wanting to imprison them and maybe give them the death penalty. But we all agree it's wrong. Now, some of us check out and we're just like, meh, not going to deal with it. But all of us have had to ask ourselves the question these last few years. At what point do I stop supporting this nonsense? At what point do I stop, look at this psychotic world and say, no, me and mine are not going to participate in this. There is no way we are doing this. And whether you're in the United States of America, or you're in Mexico, Canada, Brazil, Uruguay, Venezuela, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Mozambique, Madagascar, South Africa, Namibia, Namibia, the Congo, Liberia, Morocco, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Saudi Arabia, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, Ukraine, Poland, Hungary, France, Spain, England, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Russia, China, Japan, Taiwan, either Korea, Vietnam, the Philippines. Wherever you look, in every direction that you look, in every nation around the world, you get the same thing. I don't know if I can support all this. So at some point, it actually says quite specifically, at this point, there is no point in trying to flee. If I can't flee from one state to another and get away from the nonsense, if I can't flee from one nation to another and get away from the nonsense, if I can't flee, no matter where I go around the world, I'm not going to get away from these things. Then the question becomes, at what point do we stand and fight? At what point do we push back so hard that they have to take notice? At what point do we recognize the fact that our governments around the world, from New Zealand to Australia, to Austria and Azerbaijan. At what point do we look and say, no, we're not doing this anymore. We're not doing this anymore with you. We're not playing this game, period. We're going to withhold our tax money. We're going to withhold our support. And if you continue to push, we're not just going to withhold. We're going to resist. We're going to fight. And maybe, if needs be, overthrow. Because most of the countries that I've named across the board are in some way, shape, or form claimants to being some kind of democratic or republic nation. They claim to be nations. They're not. My nation is Galicia in the Iberian Peninsula. That's my nation. It's not even Spain. It's Galicia. Spain is barely holding itself together. Why? Because Catalonia to Barcelona. From Galicia to Valencia. From the Basque to the coast. Each of those portions of the government of their little governing bodies don't want anything to do with the nation that is now currently Spain. And King Philip, God save him, better figure something out quick. Because Spain is no longer a nation. In truth, honestly, they never really were. And that's why it was always Castile, Leon, Aragon, and the two Sicilies. Because quite frankly, these days, doesn't work so well. Quite frankly, these days, a nation as small, and when you look at Spain on the map, you compare it to these United States. If Spain is being culturally divided, and you're talking about a people that, for the most part, actually all speak the same language, they come from the same stock, they are Catholic. And they can no longer get along with each other enough to not want to separate because their federal government, and I put federal in quotation marks because obviously the Kingdom of Spain is different. But their overarching government has become so corrupt that most of the people are not having it. And we in these United States have this deception going on that because we have each of these states, we can flee between these borders and manage to try and coalesce together with people of like-minded capacity. And in truth, up until a couple of days ago, I thought that was true. But even where I've fled to, which had been a hallmark of none of that nonsense, has been infected. The location I fled to was specifically to get away from the nonsense that I was running into in the whole rest of the world. And that nonsense has followed me here over these last few years. It didn't happen all together at once, but it's happening now. And because I can't flee from one state to another in hopes of finding some kind of sanctuary away from this nonsense, because I came here, the last bastion of sanity, and even here I find none. So I find myself asking the same question as the Patricios. I find myself asking the same question as the Vendée. I find myself asking the same question as the Cristeros. Because that's actually the question. The question is the same, whether it's the Vendée, whether it's the Cristiada, or the San Patricios. At what point do I say, no, not no, but hell no? At what point do I say, you know, if you keep this up, I'm going to put down my beads for just long enough to grab my gun? And I'll be blunt. I carried a gun for far too long. I'm really not keen on picking it back up. I fought in wars that now, in retrospect, I look at them and I see that they are absolutely unjust. That the service that I did for my nation was not just a service against humanity. Service. Not just a war against another country, but actually turned out in large part to be a war against myself. Not that I have anything in common with the nations that, well, much in common with the nations that I served in, that I fought against. But only that, even though they weren't the good guys, neither was I. It's really not a good place to be. Now, some will come to these conclusions late. Really, really late. Some people actually don't find a problem with a dude bleaching his hair and then dyeing it purple. Some people don't really see the issue with nose piercings and tattoos. Some people don't see the issue with maybe sodomitical sex, be it between members of the same sex or members of the opposite sex. Some people don't see the issue. Some people don't see the problem with pornography. They don't see, you know, they just don't see it. The only terrifying thing is that some people don't see the problem with abortion, with murder. And a lot of those people have all of the same problems as everybody else. A lot of those people are the same people who don't see a problem with tattoos, who don't see a problem with bleaching your hair and dyeing it another color, foreign to humanity. Some people don't see the issue with cutting off the genitalia of children in order to make them into something that they were never created to be. To the ones who simply don't see the issue, may God wake them up and let them realize that the hour is far later than they think. But more importantly, may he never let a soul fall into believing that those things, abortion, transgenderism, sodomitical unions, all of those things, may he prevent them from fighting for those things. May he convert their hearts before they truly become enemies. And if their will is so obstinate, if their neck is so stiff, if their heart is so hardened that they will not be dissuaded, well, so be it. May there always be Christians and Catholics faithful enough to fight, faithful enough to resist. Whether it's fighting on the battlefield or fighting in front of the altar, meaning on your knees in prayer. Because the hour truly is late. And I want to go ahead and point you in the direction of Raymond Cardinal Burke, his 9-month novena to Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's already begun. It started 5 days ago. But given the fact that this is a 9-month novena, I would argue that in all reality, it's never too late to start. And point you in that direction, and we'll kind of go through it real quick. And the reason, like I mentioned in my last podcast, has to do with the fact that right at the same time that the Mission of Divine Mercy was releasing the messages that included Tepeyac, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke, His Eminence, put out this prayer and called Catholics to a 9-month novena. These things happened pretty much simultaneously. And I know that Cardinal Burke has nothing to do with this mission out of Texas. So the fact that they would both be pointing us to Tepeyac leads me to believe that there's some validity to the messages that are coming from the Mission of Divine Mercy, and that there is seriously something to this 9-month novena. You can access the Cardinal Burke novena prayer card on his website. But we're going to go through it right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Virgin Mother of God, we fly to your protection and beg your intercession against the darkness and sin which evermore envelop the world and menace the Church. Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave you to us as a mother, and as he died on the cross for our salvation. So too, in 1531, when darkness and sin beset us, he sent you as Our Lady of Guadalupe on Tepeyac to lead us to him who alone is our light and our salvation. Through your apparitions on Tepeyac and your abiding presence with us, on the miraculous mantle of your messenger, Saint Juan Diego. Millions of souls converted to faith in your divine Son. Through this novena and our consecration to you, we humbly implore your intercession for our daily conversion of life to Him, and the conversion of millions more who do not yet believe in Him. In our homes and in our nation, lead us to Him who alone wins the victory over sin and darkness in this world. Oh, in us and in the world, excuse me. Gracious. Unite our hearts to your Immaculate Heart, so that they may find their true and lasting home in the most sacred heart of Jesus. Ever guide us along the pilgrimage of life to our eternal home with Him. So may our hearts, one with yours, trust in God's promise of salvation, in His never-failing mercy toward all who turn to Him with a humble and contrite heart. Through this novena and our consecration to you, O Virgin of Guadalupe, lead all souls in America and throughout the world to your divine Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are some things that I wish He would have included in the prayer. And so in my heart, I keep them and offer them every time I pray that prayer. In this day and age, I'm sure there are some specific intentions that you keep in your heart. And I would recommend that if it's not even obliquely mentioned in this prayer, to offer them up at the same time that you're offering this prayer. Our Lady, under her title, the Virgin of Guadalupe, is the Empress of the Western Hemisphere, of both North and South America. She is the Empress of everything in the West, this whole side of the planet. The Queen of Heaven, under the title of the Immaculate Heart, or the Immaculate Conception, excuse me, is Queen of these United States. If you haven't taken the time out to consecrate yourself to the Blessed Mother, I would argue that you have 9 months to prepare. There are several very, very good 33-day preparations for consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. In fact, actually, on the YouTube channel Gabi After Hours, or Gabi's second channel, you can find a consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he goes through the 33 days. And on the final day, the day of the consecration, he actually has a list of all of the feasts of Our Lady. And you can basically pick exactly when during this 9 months, exactly when you want to consecrate yourself and your family to her Immaculate Heart. And you can tie it up and culminate it on 12 December 2024 in a final consecration, in a full-on consecration to Our Lady. And pray that her Immaculate Heart and our devotion to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our prayers and our sacrifices, our fasting, our mortifications, all of the things, the penances that we do, we offer up so that we can try and bring some semblance of sanity to this world. And if sanity will not be had, then may our Lord Jesus come and fix it in whatever way God sees fit, so that our brethren in Christ, our fellow Catholics, our co-religionists, can all be brought home. And those who find themselves enemies can find within themselves, or can discover within themselves, that they've been converted, and that they've been brought home to our Lord, and that they too can find mercy in His Sacred Heart. Because if He goes to actually come and fix it, and they remain obstinate, stiff-necked, and hard-hearted, He won't be here as an instrument of mercy. He'll be here as an instrument of justice. So we've got these 9 months to fast and pray. We need to take advantage of it. Pray for the church. Pray for the nation. Pray for our world. Pray that the bark of Peter gets set right. That our bishops, our priests, those who find themselves far away, be converted and turned back to our Lord. Pray for all of us in social media, because as everything gets more and more out of control, what I've been noticing is that there are forces, there are people who are trying to bring everybody together, and there are other people who are doing everything that they can to rend our common bonds apart. So pray for all of us in social media, those of us who are dumb enough to think that we're qualified to preach about the Catholic faith online to people around the world. Pray that we don't go nuts either, that we make the sacrifices that we need to in order to save our own souls, our families, our communities, and everyone, and be the light of truth to everyone who hears our voice. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.